This is Jay Sekulow in the You Can't Make This Up category. The star witness for Adam Schiff today, the Lieutenant Colonel, he was offered the Defense Ministry of Ukraine.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You went to Ukraine for the inauguration?
Correct.
May 20th. At any point during that trip, did Mr. Danylyuk offer you a position of defense minister with the Ukrainian government?
He did.
And how many times did he do that?
I believe it was three times.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Minister of Defense is a pretty key position for the Ukrainians. President Zelensky, Mr. Danylyuk, to bestow that honor on you, at least asking you. I mean, that was a big honor, correct?
I think it would be a great honor. And frankly, I'm aware of service members that have left service to help nurture the developing democracies in that part of the world.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Okay. Now, this goes into the you cannot make this up category. So the lead witness today, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, is testifying on Capitol Hill before the Intelligence Committee's impeachment inquiry. And he's asked this question. I want you to take a listen.
You went to Ukraine for the inauguration?
Correct.
May 20th. At any point during that trip, did Mr. Danylyuk offer you a position of defense minister with the Ukrainian government?
He did.
And how many times did he do that?
I believe it was three times.
And do you have any reason why?
So let that just stop right there. So, I mean, this is, I would say, highly unusual that the key witness in the impeachment inquiry of the President of the United States was Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, was offered the defense ministry for the country of Ukraine.
A few months ago.
Several months back. It is speechless.
Yes, Ukraine is, he is born in Ukraine. Family immigrated here, during the Soviet Union.
Great.
He's a Ukraine specialist. Wonderful. He said, loves his country. That's wonderful. Why would Ukraine think that someone so low ranking in the U.S. military, if he had not been someone who had passed information along, as we know now, he was the source for the whistleblower. He confirmed that today. Thank you, Adam Schiff, for confirming that for us by not allowing him to answer. Who in the intelligence community did you give your info to? Oh, we can't let him answer that. Wouldn't even let us know what agency the person was in.
Oh, you know,
and yet
where it
Adam
went.
Schiff is claiming that he doesn't know the identity of the whistleblower, and so did Vindman under oath today. So maybe that's why Ukraine wanted him as Minister of Defense, because this is a guy who would give us all the information on the United States.
So let me.
And they asked three times a lieutenant colonel in the military.
I want to ask a lieutenant colonel and a colonel. Let me go to lieutenant colonel first. Skip. How unusual would this be?
Well, I don't want to accuse him of anything that he has not done. But
I don't either, but it just seems odd to me.
Well, I think it is very odd. The fact that if that occurred, let's assume it did occur.
Well, he said it did.
He did.
I know he said it. But the thing is, I think that if he were asked, it's because somehow the embassy of Ukraine in Washington views him as having the president's ear and being really well-connected, and I think they would not even entertain offering him such a job were it not the case that they thought, were he to take that job, he would have access in Washington that they don't have now. So I think, and I think some of what his argument has been so far is he has taken on the president's foreign policy because it's not as pro-Ukrainian as he would like it to be. So I think there are some problems in his, and I don't mean in loyalty, but problems in keeping everything in perspective.
I mean, this guy, okay, so I got a lot more on this. We're taking your call. Your reaction to this, by the way, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. They try to rehabilitate. Listen, I'm not questioning his loyalty to the country. It just seems odd to me that the guy would be offered three times the Ministry of Defense for a country. It just happens in this case to be Ukraine, which is where he's a specialist. And he's serving in the White House. So Skip gave one explanation. I'll go to Colonel Westsmith in a moment. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Thank you. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
So we got the lead witness in today's impeachment hearing saying that he was offered the Ministry of Defense, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, that he was offered the Ministry of Defense for Ukraine, not once, not twice, but three times. And his answer to it is, well, I've heard of people that have left the military, Wes, to do these kind of things. Now, look, again, no one's impugning anything here, although Jordan is very concerned, which as he should be, which we'll get to in a moment, about the leaking. But it is odd. Mm-hmm. Is it not?
It's very odd. And again, not impugning his patriotism or his motives, it's odd that somehow he was flattered by it, I think. It bothers me, and I'm not sure exactly why. As I said earlier, it's a pain I can't locate. But the fact they came to him on three different occasions to offer
it. So why would they think he'd be interested?
Yeah, unless he was equivocal in his initial answer. The other thing, Jay, is that, you know, I wore the uniform for 26 years. Just because you wear a uniform does not mean that you're immune to political bias. There are people that in uniform that should not allow their political bias to influence their job, but they do. And as Jordan said earlier, while 99.9% of people in uniform are honorable people, there are those who are not honorable, and some of them are in Fort Leavenworth today. So the fact that he's wearing a uniform, I appreciate his service, and I'm not saying he's done anything wrong, but that in and of itself does not prove that he doesn't have political bias.
Harry, let me get your reaction. I want to get Dan's too. Then we got another issue I want to follow up with Jordan on. Yep.
Well, I think with respect to Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, we have the first evidence, arguably, of quid pro quo. He may have been, as Jordan correctly, I think, points out, the leaker. And in addition, it strikes me that the Ukrainian government, which has always sought influence in the West and in Russia, sought to influence policy in Washington, D.C. by offering him this particular position. And if he had accepted this particular position, he would have insight in terms of American policy that a Ukrainian would likely not have. So I think if he had accepted this position, it would provide clear and unmistakable benefits to the Ukrainian government. And so I think all Americans should be concerned, without impugning Mr. Vindman's integrity and loyalty, with respect to this particular offer.
Dan, let me go to you on this, because I think there's something I'm concerned about overall here, and that is I'm looking at now this hearing, just overall. We'll get into the specifics. We've got a lot more to go through. But I'm looking at the hearing, and I mean, this is the basement upon an impeachment inquiry of the sitting president of the United States? These are policy disagreements at best.
Yeah, and in fact, Jay, both of the witnesses before the committee today reiterated that. They reiterated a couple of things. First of all, that aid being withheld was consistent, actually, with American policy, and also that the transcript in question was substantively accurate. Both witnesses testified to that fact, Jay. But on this point about the job offer, look, the lieutenant colonel says that he is aware of other instances where this has happened. Jay, he's talking about other people who have gone to advise a foreign government. Let's put this in perspective. This is a newly elected president of a foreign government choosing a member of the American military to not come be an advisor, Jay, to be the defense minister. That's the equivalent of the defense secretary in the United States. If that's ever happened before, Jay, I am not aware.
If you did that, you would have to renounce your U.S. citizenship,
right?
Become a Ukrainian citizen only, no dual. You have to renounce to be the leader of a military.
Well, he didn't.
But why would they consider this? And this is their star. These are one of their star witnesses. Again, these are the fourth and fifth people that Adam Schiff wanted you to hear from.
Right.
In the second week, this is who was opening the hearing. This is a guy whose boss said in the closed door sessions, "I have concerns with Mr. Miniman that he does not exercise appropriate judgment as to whom he would say what to." So he was being excluded from a lot of phone calls about Ukraine because of his big mouth. Okay, that's from his boss. He'll be asked about that later today, I'm sure, in public again. But he's already testified to that. Why wasn't Colonel Vindman on any calls with you that period and Ambassador Taylor? Well, define the relevant time period. It goes on. Did Vindman complain about that? Yes. Why? The nature, the subject matter. Did it have anything to do with trust in Colonel Vindman? And then he watched it and he said, "I had concerns about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's judgment." Judgment with respect to what? Among the discussions I had with Dr. Hill, she's also testifying later this week, in the transition was our team, my team, its strength and its weaknesses. The whole team. And the only thing that he acknowledges is, and Fiona and others raised concern about Alex's judgment. Any concerns? Did anyone bring concerns that they believe Colonel Vindman had leaked something in the past? Yes.
Leaked. All right, so let's get all that ready to play here, because there's some discussions on that. But Skip, let me go back to you here. I just find it highly unusual that a member of the military, and maybe, again, he said it has happened before, but to be offered the Secretary of Defense, Ministry of Defense for Ukraine, I mean, it just seems inconceivable. I mean, I'm not a military person, so I'm missing here, but it just seems a little inconceivable that would just be out there.
Well, I think it is also. I would have to give one historical example that I know of, and that's Mickey Marcus, who went to help the State of Israel when it was being founded, and he became the head of the army over there and gave his life for Israel. He's buried at West Point. He's a West Pointer who did that. But this is unusual. And I think part of the reason is that, if you remember, during the Reagan administration, the Secretary of State used to bring in ambassadorial people and say, okay, what country do you represent? He'd take him to the globe. And more often than not, they would say, "I represent France," or "I represent Bolivia." And he said, "No, you represent the United States of America." And I think sometimes people like this colonel here forget whom they represent, and they put forward, they're so pro the country that they're interacting with that they cannot keep a balance on whom they represent and whose interests they actually represent.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's. I mean, you really do wonder if that's what it is. Go ahead, Jordan.
No, it's a problem. This is their only thing they deal with. It's like their only issue is like Ukraine, and so they've got it dead set in their mind. And he happens to be Ukrainian also. So I mean, you got all these things. It's not a divided loyalty issue. It's bad judgment. It's more like what Morse said. More like what Skip is getting to is that it's like you're clouded judgment, and it appears that this individual, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, has gone outside his chain of command, as his boss testified to. That's what he is. He's acknowledging that to a point in his phone when he says, "I did call two people who may have had the security clearances." He named one of them who did testify last week, George Kent.
Yeah.
Refused to even tell us what branch of the intelligence community he decided to call someone in the intelligence.
Yeah, I want to get into the whole dialogue between Representative Nunes, Congressman Nunes, and Vindman on this whole issue of who he was speaking to. But Harry, when you look at this, I mean, again, if we want to look at it in your line, which is the policy perspective on this, this is supposed to be an impeachment query of the President of the United States.
Absolutely. And so far, not a scintilla of evidence has emerged suggesting that a crime was ever committed by this administration with respect to Ukraine or any other entity. That is the clear and unmistakable bottom line. And so pursuant to the Constitution, and you don't have to be a constitutional scholar like Adam Schiff to understand that in order to impeach the president, you need to find evidence of a high crime or a misdemeanor. There is no evidence of a crime, and we all know it. So this is a faux impeachment inquiry. And yes, it may have consequences, but it's very important for the American people to know that there is no evidence that supports this inquiry.
Congressman Ratcliffe did a very effective job of raising this issue of bribery. You know, they've moved it from quid pro quo. Now it's back to it's bribery. That's kind of the new buzzword for all of this. But I want you to hear this because he talks about the depositions. He talks about the transcripts. Take a listen. Okay, we'll get the transcript to you in a few moments. We'll get the audio of that in a few minutes. But it was very, very clear. He said he laid a stack of deposition transcripts up and said specifically, let me tell you how many times bribery's in here. And it was none. Now we have it. Here it is.
Ms. Williams, you used the word unusual to describe the president's call on July 25th. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman used the word inappropriate and proper. Now, I've word searched each of your transcripts, and the word bribery or bribe doesn't appear anywhere in that. Ms. Williams, you've never used the word bribery or bribe to explain President Trump's conduct, correct?
No, sir.
Colonel Vindman, you haven't either.
That is correct.
Well, there you have it.
And that's when these hearings should be over.
Yep.
I mean, I don't really care. We've heard some interesting things. The reason why we're talking about Lieutenant Colonel Vindman is not some right-wing conspiracy. It's the truth that he was offered the job three times. But we don't have to get to that point about him becoming a Ukrainian cabinet minister, Secretary of Defense, Minister of Defense for Ukraine. If the Democrats weren't pulling these medium to low-ranking officials and forcing them to testify on an impeachment hearing when none of them are willing to call for the impeachment of the President of the United States work for. None of them. No witness to date has said the President's committed any crime or impeachable offense.
No, that's correct. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Want to get into this whole issue with the leaker. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this with your friends right now. Again, if you want to give us a call, our phone lines are open, 800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ's in a matching challenge campaign as well.
ACLJ.org. To be part of our matching challenge, go right to the website, ACLJ.org. Double the impact your donation. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. online at aclj.org.
All right, so we had first the key witness was offered the position of Minister of Defense, not once, not twice, but three times. Now, we have a whole conversation. We'll let Jordan set this up a little bit for everybody, and that is about who Vindman was talking to, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, because there was concern with communications to people that were not to be read in on this, or was not necessary for them to be read in. But let me, I do have a preview question that I want to get to, and I'm going to ask Skip and Wes. And I'll start with Skip. Skip, in your military career, going out of the chain of command, reporting out of the chain of command is a big deal, correct?
It is a big deal. There are channels that are set aside in emergencies or if there's something unlawful, but those are very strict channels. Otherwise, you're expected to go through the chain of command. That's how the military functions, and to violate that is a serious violation.
Wes, your experience?
Yeah, this leads to a key question that I have concerning Colonel Vindman, and that is he and Ms. Hill, after they went to their superiors and complained about the phone call, they did not like the answer of the people in their chain of command. So what did they do next? They went to the general counsel for the NSC. There's only one reason you would go to a lawyer at the NSC whenever your chain of command has said, hey, you know, basically there's not a problem here. And that is political and legal retribution. They wanted to take action out of the chain of command to bring political pressure on the president and his administration over this. Otherwise, whenever your superiors in the chain of command hear you and dismiss you, you salute the flag and step out smartly. You don't go see a lawyer.
Yeah, well, they did hear. I mean, Harry, what's your view on that? And then we're joining one again.
Well, I think Wesley's analysis is very, very sound. So I think the inference that we must draw is that Mr. Vindman was indeed a political actor. And he disagreed vehemently with the president on the president's approach to Ukraine. Consequently, he then perhaps had a discussion with the so-called whistleblower slash leaker in order to set all of this in motion. However, the Democrats continue to struggle with coming up with a consistent narrative. So first, it was quid pro quo. Secondly, it was extortion. Thirdly, it was bribery. Tomorrow, who knows? The failure of the president to do X or Y. But essentially, the bottom line remains clear. No crime was committed. It's a policy dispute. It's a political dispute. But it does not support impeachment.
Jordan, all right, let's lay out what was going on here with regard to this leaked information.
Both witnesses get asked if they've ever leaked information to the media before in the past. They both denied doing that. And they've never actually been the direct source of a leak. But as we know, and Jim Comey is a good example of this, that it's actually pretty rare for the first person to be the direct source to the leak because it's too easy to identify them. So a leaker can be someone who gets it to someone inside the government who is then in an easier position to get it to the media. That's actually, you know, you're part of the leaking chain. You're doing it intentionally. So Vindman's asked, like, who did you call about this? And his defense about calling outside of the National Security Council is that these people had the proper levels of clearance and they should have been read into it. Now, one was already someone who testified, George Kent from the State Department. I still think, I'm not sure that would have been his first source anyways about the call. Vindman, he could have heard about it from other people. But then he says there was someone in the intelligence community he also notified. Adam Schiff jumps in, won't let him answer even what branch of the... So we have 17 different intelligence agencies in the U.S. Maybe too many at this point in time that we've gone through all these problems in our country. Because they think they run the country, not the elected officials in the United States. And Adam Schiff would not let him identify even what intelligence agency. You remember, Adam Schiff and Vindman, now under oath, have denied knowing who the whistleblower is, but refused to even say what agency he called. He's refusing to tell Congress under oath. The Republicans ask, you know, should that be a Fifth Amendment assertion even? Because he's refusing to identify. He says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is, but then won't answer the question. I mean, there's a lie in there. There's a real legal jeopardy in there. And they've got their lawyers. I love the fact, by the way, let's point this out before, that both of them have got their lawyers there ready to testify for them and jump in, unlike the President of the United States, who doesn't have any legal representation while they're trying to impeach him over policy disputes. Let's take a listen to some of these exchange. Take a listen to the direct exchange about going outside of the chain, because that's what he did here.
Yeah.
He talked to people outside the NSC.
As you know, the intelligence community has 17 different agencies. What agency was this individual from?
If I could interject here, we don't want to use these proceedings.
It's our time,
I know,
Mr. Chair.
But we need to protect the whistleblower.
Please stop.
I want to make sure that there's no effort to out the whistleblower through the use of these proceedings. If the witness has a good faith belief that this may reveal the identity of the whistleblower, that is not the purpose that we are here for, and I want to advise the witness accordingly.
Now, they both said they don't know who the whistleblower is. Vindman said that under oath today, so why would he have an issue even now? Let's say he names someone. Doesn't matter if they are or aren't the whistleblower, because that he said he doesn't know who that is. But so this idea from Adam Schiff, it's all a game. It's sick, and it's a sham, this process. I mean, none of their witnesses have the guts to say the president should be impeached. None of them have the evidence to say the president should be impeached. None of them believe the president should be impeached. And neither does the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. She's scared to death of having the president impeached and having that vote. Or else they could have wrapped this up go have the vote.
Well, they don't want to have the vote after this testimony. Are you kidding me? After this testimony, I don't think they want to have the vote.
This is not, we have learned since the beginning of these hearings, nothing.
That's except because the transcript was put out in self-evident.
There are bureaucrats and some military advisors
who disagree
with some of the president's policies. Oh, yeah. You mean the president who said he was going to come to Washington and get rid of most of those bureaucrats and stop listening to him?
Well,
drain the swamp, president.
Yeah, a policy dispute, Harry, is not the basis upon which the founders believed an impeachment inquiry should be put forward.
I think that's correct. And I also think it's also consistent with U.S. history. However, many Democrats suffer from what might be called the Trump derangement syndrome. One commentator for one of the networks suggested that President Trump should have been impeached the day he took office. So in other words, before he could commit an impeachable offense. And I think Adam Schiff falls within that category. Adam Schiff has been fibbing, perhaps from the beginning, but certainly with respect to his knowledge of the whistleblower. He says, oh, we'd love to speak with the whistleblower. We don't know who the whistleblower is. Oh, but yes, my staff has had communication with the whistleblower. And so how do you protect the whistleblower from being outed if you don't know who the whistleblower is?
Yeah.
But Adam Schiff's conduct suggests that he continues to lie even when he's under oath.
So I'm going to get into this whole issue of the whistleblower when we come back from the break, because it's just an interesting, there's a whole colloquy here that's very interesting to follow. We'll get right to it. We're going to take your calls as well. 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're in process right now as we're talking about this. We are working on our case at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. That's going to be argued December 4th, 5th, and 6th. That process is underway. Your support to the ACLJ makes a huge difference.
We have a matching challenge right now. It means we have a group of donors. We'll match every donation that comes through at ACLJ.org in the month of November. Donate today, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, and you can double the impact of your donation. Such a critical time to support our work. We'll be right back, second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back. Second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've kind of set up, and the hearings are ongoing. And this is just this is now week two. These are only the first two witnesses today. There are literally two more witnesses today. Let's go to Than Bennett on that. So, Than, we want to set people up. Right now you've got Jennifer Williams, who's an aide to Vice President Mike Pence. Interesting enough, she started off on the Bush-Cheney campaign. And they tried to make that point in her political career. That was I worked on that campaign, too. That was nearly 16 years ago at this point. And she decided to stay in government. And so to kind of give up partisanship and you know, is not that political of a person, obviously, if you can work for Barack Obama's foreign policy and implement that for 8 years. You know, I think you've kind of moved past your partisanship, so decide to join government. But she starts off in politics. They try to make a big deal. Also, you know, this whole deal, she was not a never-Trumper. I guarantee you there were a lot of people who worked for Bush-Cheney, and I know them, who worked in 2004, who worked for Bush-Cheney campaign, who were never-Trumpers. Okay, that Democrats always get that confused. Like, well, how could you be as a Republican staffer, campaigns person 20 years ago and be a never-Trumper today? I mean, that's who we're referring to a lot of times with Republicans. But second, then you have Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. And there's going to be two more people testifying today. So I mean, saying even for Washington, this is an exercise in patience. And also, I mean, just going through this is hours long now of just part one of two parts today.
I can tell you, Jordan, that it's exercising my patience and has been for some time. But look, there's still witnesses being announced. I mean, we got a ninth witness for this week over the next 3 days announced last night. Jordan, a couple of things I would have our listeners point out if they are watching these proceedings. This afternoon, you're going to hear that these are witnesses that were called by Republicans. And I will remind them, these were witnesses called by Democrats that Republicans were willing to call back. The Democrats have still not granted the Republicans a single witness that was theirs originally. And Jordan, just one other comment on the line of questioning that you were talking about on outing the whistleblower. There is no doubt, Jordan, that if the second person that the lieutenant colonel talked to was not the whistleblower, he would have given us the name. And the proof of that, Jordan, is he gave us the name of the other person he talked to. He said it was George Kent. We've already heard from him. Yeah. He gave us the one. There's no other explanation.
Of course. Did we play number 75 yet? Do we have time or should we wait, Will? Yeah, let's go. I want to lay this one out for you. This is the dialogue about that.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was or is.
I do not know who the whistleblower is.
How is it possible for you to name these people and then out the whistleblower?
Per the advice of my counsel, I've been advised not to answer specific questions about members of the intelligence community.
Are you aware that this is the intelligence committee that's conducting an impeachment hearing?
Of course I am.
Wouldn't the appropriate place for you to come to testify would be the intelligence committee about someone within the intelligence community?
Ranking member, per the advice of my counsel and the instructions from the chairman, I've been advised not to provide any specifics on who I've spoken to with inside the intelligence community. What I can offer is that these were properly cleared individuals, or was a properly cleared individual with a need to know.
So they were either properly cleared individuals or properly cleared individuals with a need to know, which just means that they had security clearance, Harry. That's all it means.
Absolutely.
So what?
Essentially and effectively, Vindman has outed the whistleblower, perhaps inadvertently. And so I think all diligent news journalists should be on the march to name the whistleblower soon.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, at this point, everybody knows who the whistleblower is. The name's been out there. The lawyer for the whistleblower retweeted the whistleblower's name. Has put it out there.
Put him testify.
Let him testify because they got the
Find
call
out who
from
he
Vindman.
Was talking to. I like to know who he's talking to.
Yeah, because
to
who
Vindman.
Else called him other than Vindman? Because if that's his only source, and that was the basis. And again, none of these people will say that this is an impeachable offense. They are just, these are fact witnesses. They don't have any evidence. Because there's none. We'll be right back.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
You know, this whole thing that Adam Schiff keeps saying about the right to anonymity, by the way, the whistleblower statute, the way I understand it, and I could be wrong on this, but I thought it was the right to no retribution.
There's no anonymity. The protection lies in the inspector general for this specific agency doesn't have to name the whistleblower's name at the moment until there's like a legal proceeding, possibly.
Yeah, well, there's a proceeding. Yeah. I don't think it's particularly legal.
If they
legal,
believe
but
that would tie to. But okay. That's only the inspector general that has that duty upon them. Other people who know who that is have no duty to protect the anonymity of the whistleblower.
It's to protect from retribution. That's
right.
There's
they
a big difference on that.
That's it.
So we're trying to get reports that some of the networks have pulled away from the coverage. Do we know that, Will? We're working on that right now? They have? We don't know. So we're getting reports from people that saying that the networks are pulling away, which would tell you something right there. I'm going to go to Skip and Wes on this really quickly, and we'll grab a call here, too. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, and I've got something for Than on the atmospherics here. So, Skip, from your standpoint, all of this seems to me to be not done according to the book. In other words, the conversations, who they spoke to, going out of the chain of command, that the process was not properly followed.
Well, it certainly looks that way, and the fact that they're reluctant to give information about the persons with whom they spoke certainly suggests that. But there is a coordination function of all these agencies, so there are certain people they normally converse with. But normally that's not secret, and that's not under any – I mean, you can pick that out by certain – if I'm the Ukraine desk in the State Department, I'm probably talking to you. If you're the part of the Department of Defense that deals with the Ukraine, I'm probably talking to you. So you can probably figure it out. So if his unwillingness to do that suggests that he spoke to somebody who may have the proper clearance, but I would doubt that that person has the need to know, and a need to know trumps the clearance.
Okay, Wes.
Absolutely, yeah. Clearance is in writing. It's on paper. You either have a clearance to look at information or you don't. Need to know is fairly subjective because it depends on who you're talking to and what they do for, you know, in their job and what have you. And I suspect Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, it was in his opinion this person had a need to know.
So, Harry, that's what I was going to say. It's not that there was a directive that came down from the NSC or there was a directive that came down from the White House counsel that said these are the individuals that need to know. This was a determination, apparently, made by the Lieutenant Colonel.
Absolutely. So he made it on his own motion and without external authority. So Mr. Vindman says this person needs to know, therefore this person needs to know, and Adam Schiff offered him more than a fig leaf of cover.
So NBC is on to their regular programming now, and CBS is back to, according to Will, soap operas, and just ABC is hanging in there with us. Fan, which brings me to the point. You're there dealing with this. What is the sense on Capitol when you're talking to staffers? What is their pickup on this? I mean, this has so far been a zero today.
I think the sense, Jay, is that there's a lot of wondering what the 31 Democrats who are in Trump districts are thinking. Look, I mean, you just take three data
Lieutenant
points,
Colonel
Jay.
Brent Venman was offered the Ministry of Defense three times. That's what they're thinking.
The Lieutenant Colonel testified three things. He testified that I talked to two people about the call, George Kent and the whistleblower, number one. Number two, that the review of the military aid was consistent with U.S. policy. And number three, that the call transcript was, he would describe it as, quote, substantively correct. Jay, if you are one of the 31 Democrats representing a district that Donald Trump won, that is a very tough basis to go to the floor and vote for articles of impeachment. And I will tell you, Jeff Van Drew from New Jersey, that's a district that Trump only won by 4.5 points, Jay. He is already speaking in very specific terms about how he's inclined to vote against articles. Imagine if you're one of the eight Democrats in a district that voted for Donald Trump by 10 points or more. Jay, it's that universe, not the Speaker Pelosi or the Chairman Schiff universe. It's that universe that the Democrats are the most worried about in the House of Representatives right now. And after today, rightfully so.
I don't think they have the votes. I just don't. I don't see it.
Yeah, well, I think, and what was important that Than said there, being asked about it again, is that Democrats expected Vindman to disagree with the transcript and to say, Than, that the transcript was so inaccurate and that was missing all this. And he downplayed any of the things that he even noted that he said, well, should there have been a specific naming of Burisma in the release transcript? He downplayed all of it today. And so that whole line, every time Democrats have tried to kind of leak out ahead of these witnesses that they're going to disclose something that's going to be so bombshell, these witnesses have been unwilling, when the cameras are turned on them, to go there. Every news report said that he was going to go up there today and go after the White House officials for miswriting this transcript, for leaving out information on purpose, which again would imply some kind of impeachable offense or illegal activity. And he didn't do that today.
No, he did not. I mean, I think it's pretty ironic, Than, that this has developed this way. So the question that I have for you, and I'm going to ask this to Harry too, and that is, where does it go? I mean, are they so off the ledge that they're going to, are they still trying to wrap this thing? Here's what I don't think. I don't think you're going to see another week worth of hearings, because based on what we've seen today, if it goes like this today, tomorrow, and Thursday, I think the hearings probably are done. I want your view on that, Dan. That's just my kind of view looking at it from here.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I mean, first of all, in the answer to the transcript, both witnesses today, Jordan, testified to that. Jennifer Williams said that the transcript looked substantively correct to me, and the lieutenant colonel said, I certainly would describe it as substantively correct. So to answer your question, Jay, with that as the backdrop, I do think Speaker Pelosi is going to bring this vote to the floor of the House. But again, they're dependent on districts that Donald Trump won, and I'm not sure that an elected official who has to go back to the ballot box in less than a year on this criteria is going to be comfortable voting for articles of impeachment. Jay, I think they're going to move it as quickly as possible to put the maximum amount of pressure on those 31.
Harry, let me ask you this, just kind of looking at the scenario here of the precedent it would set. If you were to have a impeachment proceeding actually go to a vote based on what we've heard and seen so far?
Well, I think from a historical perspective, it would be very damaging to the country. It would be damaging to our future, because it would provide a potential basis for voiding a democratically elected president's election the day after he or she were inaugurated. So I think if you look at the record that we have here, first, the transcript of the phone call is A, substantially correct. B, there is no evidence, and there's no testimony that there's any evidence that a crime was committed. C, all of the disagreements point to what? An underlying policy dispute, largely animated by deep staters in Washington who disagree with the president's approach to Ukraine, and they disagree fundamentally with the president's approach to foreign policy. And then lastly, we have the issue of Mr. Vindman himself, who is subject to a potential conflict of interest. In other words, he was provided, at least he was offered, a potential benefit. the defense ministry position in Ukraine. And then the question becomes, is that now evidence of quid pro quo? Now, according to his testimony, he did not accept the position. But it does raise questions about, in my view, his credibility. And one final point is, it looks like all the evidence points to this conclusion that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman had contact with the so-called whistleblower, and he decided on his own motion that he should disclose this information.
All right, let me play for you a comment here, a question that came from a member, and the response from the Lieutenant Colonel.
I also know that as a staff member, the person who sets the policy of the United States is the president, not the staff. And you testify that the president sets the policy, correct?
That is correct.
There you go. Now, Skip, to me, that's pretty clear.
It is clear. And it's also the way that any staffer should understand it. I'm sure he was given the opportunity within his group of people to say what he wanted to say. But once the decision is made, we all salute and we carry it out to the best of our ability. And that's what it seems to me he has failed to recognize. He is still against the policy, still has concerns, and he has a problem accepting the policy the president has decided.
Yeah, in his opening statement today, he said that it was his job to coordinate policy among several agencies. Later on in that same statement, he said that his concern over the phone call, he felt like he had to defend the policy. I'm sorry, you are a coordinator of policy. You don't set policy, and it's not your job to defend 100%. The policy. It is coordination, and he totally, I think, misunderstands his job.
If he was Minister of Defense of Ukraine, he could set policy.
There you go.
No one who has testified so far. Kurt Volker is the only person who's left, and he wasn't even getting paid. So he was like a volunteer. He's going to testify later. None of these people who this is their job quit. Okay? No one quit. Fiona Hill was already on her way out. She's testifying later this week. She was already on her way out. She already has new employment. None of these people quit over this. And Jennifer Williams testified today, didn't raise this as an issue until the transcript went public. She had no issues about this. She put it in the vice president's folder
briefing
and didn't talk to him about it.
Right.
Even though he talked to the president of Ukraine 2 days later.
That tells you a lot. All right, here's what we do. We're in the last segment of the broadcast. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And for you on Facebook and Periscope, something special. We're going to be here. We got a special program we're going to broadcast for you. We're going to talk about, we'll be taking your calls on it too, on Israel. Major developments there. So much news, we couldn't get it all in the hour today. So we're going to stay after and do another one. Again, 800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ and the Matching Challenge, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
So now we're going to take your phone calls, questions. This hearing, by the way, it is still, this is just round one of two rounds today. The first two of four witnesses is still going. And then we have told you that two of the major networks, of course, the cable news is going to be covering this. And that's kind of why the cable news exists, is to cover things like this. But the two of the major networks have broken away. Maybe they'll come back later for the other testimony. That's a bad sign for Adam Schiff and a bad sign for Democrats who want to impeach the president, that they are making such bad television that the liberals behind NBC and CBS decide it's better to go to soap operas than play their testimony because no one's going to be convinced. You know, the mainstream Americans aren't going to be convinced. And that they were obviously losing money to an extent that they needed to. So not good for Adam Schiff, not good for Democrats that has been the case. But I want to go right to your phone calls. People have been holding on, like Mary. We'll make sure Mary gets a copy of the next Red Wave. I'll sign that for her. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I had a comment, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting how after Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's speech about how he was maybe offered the job of Secretary of Defense for the Ukraine three times, I'm surprised that like the media people on the big networks didn't actually, it's not every day somebody wearing a uniform actually says that they were offered the job of Secretary of Defense for another country.
No, it's not. And Mary, you know what? On CNN, do you know what they immediately said? It's why this whole thing is such a scam and a sham on. Oh, no, because he said that, Mary, because he said that the right-wing conspiracy is going to go nuts. It's not a conspiracy. He testified under oath that he was offered this position. That's why we're talking about it. It's bizarre. It's strange. When we have been preemptively told, you better not question Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, or you're going to be accused of accusing a U.S. soldier of divided loyalty. And then he goes up under oath and testifies that he's been asked three times to give up his U.S. citizenship and become a defense minister for Ukraine.
Can I say
something? And he's the guy who went to the leaker.
Can I say something? Again, I'm not impugning anybody's integrity. I'm not impugning his loyalty to the United States. He served our country. I get all that.
Those bosses.
But Skip, I don't understand. I mean, I understand the Israel history. I get all that. But it is bizarre that we're not, because you're dealing with an impeachment inquiry and he's a witness. So it is a little unorthodox, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, he was at the phone call. He doesn't know anything. Everything that he knows was lawful. So he's sitting up here for hour after hour telling us that everything that he saw was lawful. So all he is a pinata for people to go after, or he's somebody to be idolized, and it has absolutely nothing to establish that there was any crime committed or any high crime or misdemeanor committed, and he has said as much. We're arguing maybe about two items that were left out, possibly left out of the transcript, well, and that's it.
I think Tony's getting to this point online, too. I want to take Tony's call from New Jersey. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
My words exactly as Jay just said. I don't know what's going on here. I'm very confused. Right now, I think that we're watching a play that we've already been told the last great ending has been spoiled. Spoiler alert. And these guys never thought President Trump would release the transcripts.
Right.
And they're supposed to hit the ground, and their whole scheme was ruined.
This is exactly... No, look. The releasing of the transcript is the thing, Than, they did not anticipate. And that was done early on, and I think that's why they've never been able to catch up on any kind of narrative that makes any sense. Certainly not scoring with the American people, and apparently not the networks either.
Yeah, Tony's absolutely correct about both things, Jay. This is a script. These are actors on a stage that are expected to follow that script. It has not necessarily always gone according to plan. But on the transcript, Tony's particularly right. They did not expect the president to put this out because typically presidents don't want to release these kind of conversations for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But, Jay, I want to circle back to this just very quickly. What did the lieutenant colonel call this transcript today? He called it, and I quote, substantively correct. That makes it the direct evidence in play here. People should read that transcript.
Do we have that sound? We played subsemi clerk.
I was going to get to like what Skip said, what the caller was talking about, because once the transcript went out, all of these witnesses, I think they're realizing it now. Whatever you want to feel about them, think about them, and the bizarreness, the weird things that come out in these testimonies about all of them, is they are being used by Democrats. And they may not have thought that when they were, I told everybody this, when they were behind closed doors in those secret hearings, and it's just a bunch of words that come out in a transcript. But when they get in front of the cameras, and this is an impeachment hearing, and guess what? Both sides are going to ask you tough questions, and you're going to anger one side, and then you're unwilling to take positions, and you realize you're being used. But you went down this path. Remember, how many people on this call? 30 or 35?
Right.
Only a few are doing this. These were the few they could convince to not go over with executive privilege and things that were asserted and become pinatas. And they thought this was going to make them look good. And in reality, this has probably hurt all of their careers long term, because one side or not is not going to like what they had to say. None of them are saying the president should be removed from office.
No, no one said that.
So it's like, why are you there doing this to yourself?
Let's bring up Terry's question, because this is a good question.
Yeah.
Terry, you're on the air.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm curious, do we have any estimate as to what the U.S. taxpayers have paid out for these impeachment proceedings?
Well, between this and Bob Mueller, tens of millions in... Mueller was, I think, close to, what, 40 million? So this is probably in that ballgame. I think, look, the Congress... This is what happens. You have elections. These things can happen. So this is what's happened. But this is how I want to end the broadcast today. And by the way, for Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends, because we're going to be staying for another hour. We got to get into, there's a big issue developing internationally on Israel. We've got to get to. We're going to do that. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. It'll be a program we'll air during Thanksgiving week, but we're going to do it live for you on Facebook and Periscope now. But I think it's really important for people to understand this. This is a theater. This is political theater. There's no legal issues here. I thought Ratcliffe did a great job when he said, how many times was bribery actually used in the transcript, Perry? And the answer to that was none.
Absolutely. So if you look at every single angle that the Democrats have offered, it has blown up appropriately enough in their face. And I think the longer they stay on this particular pathway, the easier it will be for the American people to see through the Democrats' initiative, which is basically oppositional toward this president and toward progress for the American people. So where are the Democrats' initiatives, for instance, on drug price reform? Where is their initiative with respect to health care reform? Where is their initiative with respect to infrastructure? It's missing in action.
Yeah. All right, there you have it. So we've had the testimony of the two witnesses so far today. I would give that the score of 0. That's kind of where that ended up. I think the networks, at least a couple of them, I think it was like, who pulled out, Will? Decided enough of this. Time to go to something else. Maybe they'll go back into it for some other witnesses later. All right, we're going to be here for another hour talking about a very big issue. Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. We've got a major announcement. Got a little bit of news yesterday, but it's a big deal, and we want to get into that with our experts. Don't forget the matching challenge of the ACLJ.
That's right, folks. Go to ACLJ.org. Remember, you can double the impact of your donation. That's ACLJ.org. Donate today. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.